opportunity to give. I pray that you would bless this for the kingdom of God. I pray that you'd multiply it. Lord, don't let it return void. But we thank you, God, and we trust you in every area of our life, and we rejoice in giving in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you as you are giving. Amen. It's good to see everyone here, and we're missing a few. Keep them in prayer. Sister Renee, we're praying for you. She fell and bruised herself and hurt something and on the way. So we're praying for you, but glad she came on to church. Amen. So we're praying an extra special blessing for her tonight. Amen. God is great, and what a privilege to trust in the Lord. Where would I be without the Lord? Come on, where would we be without the Lord? What would we have without him? We would be missing so much. We'd have all the things of the world, but we would miss so much without the Lord. And everything in this life is going to pass away, but only what's done for God and only the things of righteousness are going to last. Amen. Let's go to Matthew chapter 5, and we're going to read verses 1 through 6. Matthew chapter 5 and verses 1 through 6. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. And that's what we're going to look at tonight. Hungry and thirsty souls. Hungry and thirsty souls. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Have you heard the story about, well, there's a lady went and she bought a parrot at the pet store. And she was kind of lonely and wanted to take the parrot home so that she could have someone to talk to. And so she got the parrot, took it home and put it in its cage. And, well, the parrot didn't say a word. And so she went back to the store the next day and talked to the manager. And the manager said, well, you know what? Maybe you ought to get a ladder.
A ladder?
Yeah, a ladder, because parrots like to get exercise. They like to climb up and down the ladder. And so maybe you need to put a ladder in its cage, and maybe that'll help it to talk. And so she got a ladder and put it in the cage and watched the parrot climbing up and down on the ladder, but still it didn't talk. So she went back to the store, and this time the manager said, you know what? You probably need a swing. Parrots like to swing back and forth. And so she got the swing and put it in the cage. And she watched the parrot go up and down the ladder and swing back and forth on the swing, but it didn't talk. And so she goes back to the store and says, I don't know what's wrong here. I got the ladder. I got the swing. And still the parrot didn't talk. And I'm lonely. I just wish he would talk to me. And so the store manager said, hey, you need a mirror. You need a mirror. You see, the parrot likes to look at himself. And so get a mirror in there, and that's going to help you. And so she went, got a mirror, put it in there with the ladder and with the swing, and that parrot would just kind of look at himself in the mirror, and he'd swing back and forth, and he'd climb up and down. But, well, you guessed it. It didn't talk. She went back to the manager the next day and said, the parrot died. This is just the story, and terrible. He said, well, did the parrot say anything before he died? And she said, yeah. The parrot said, hey, don't they sell food down there at that store too? Sorry, I'm hungry. What does that story have about anything to do with the spiritual, Pastor? Here it is. In our walk with God, too many people have so much stuff in their lives. We've got ladders and we've got swings and mirrors and all this stuff, but we don't have any food. We don't have any spiritual food, and our spiritual man is starving. We're hungry, and the fact is, if we don't get spiritual food, our spiritual man is going to die. Our spiritual man will die. Now, in 2020, you would think that with all of our technology and with all of our prosperity, with all of the organizations which help out all over the world, you would think that in 2020 there would not be a problem with world hunger. And progress is being made, but around the world, depending on which study you look at, almost 1 billion people are undernourished. Isn't that amazing? Almost 1 billion people. It's estimated that 20% of children under 5 years of age suffer from malnutrition. 20% of all children under 5 years of age suffer from malnutrition. Now, that's in other places of the world, right? Well, much of it is, but it happens even in high-income countries as well. And here's the thing that's absolutely astonishing. There is more than enough food to go around. There is more than enough food produced in the world to feed every single person and have left over. But because of poverty and because of famines and economic turndowns and conflicts and wars, and many people still go to bed hungry at night. But here's something that's also amazing, because there are many more people who, while they seem to have plenty to eat, their bodies are actually starving. They go to bed full, their stomachs are full, but they aren't getting the correct nourishment that their body needs. Why is that? Because of what they eat. And yes, junk food, but more than junk food. Foods that have been so processed, vegetables that have been modified, fruit that has been engineered in a laboratory somewhere, food and drinks with enough sugar content that they don't need any preservatives. They got the sugar in there. And sugar added to things like milk and processed meats, and often it's under another name so people don't even realize how much sugar they're taking. And so while we're full, we're still hungry, because our body is not getting the nourishment that we need even with all we eat. We're full, but we're literally starving on the inside. There's something about being hungry. It affects every other area of life. If you are hungry, it will affect you. Someone who has not eaten has a hard time focusing on anything else. Has anybody ever been hangry? You've been hangry before? Lauren says no. Don't lie in church. So hungry, you can't talk to anybody, you can't think, you can't do anything else until you get something to eat. You're hangry. I want to tell you, there's no cry like the cry of the hungry. Just ask a new mother or father at 3 a.m. in the morning. When that baby wants to eat, nothing else will make that cry go away, because that baby is hungry. And there is a cry coming from our world. We see it coming from people who are so unhappy with life. They're so tired of living. It comes from both the rich and the poor. Social media influencers, they post like they have the perfect life, but they are not exempt from the cry of hunger. Those protesting social injustice, rioters exhibiting the anger that they have inside. None of them realize it, but it's the cry of the hungry. that's what's wrong. Oh, they would not think of going to church. They would not think of admitting that something is missing from their life. But in reality, that's exactly what's going on deep within them. Their souls are hungry. Their souls are thirsty. They're starving and they don't even realize it. They think they're angry at the world. They're hangry. They're hangry. They're so hungry and don't even realize it, that the anger is misdirected. It's at the government. It's at somebody who has it better than what they have. But really, it's their soul that is empty. And they're crying out because they've starved themselves spiritually. And they will always be miserable unless they find their way to the foot of the cross. Help us, Lord. And even in the church, we are in danger of spiritual starvation. Oh, but we come to church. We give our tithes. We give our offerings. We're on the praise team. We teach Sunday school, or maybe we're the pastor. But if we're not careful, we can be going through the motions of religion and not have a relationship with God. Going through the traditions where we can walk the walk and we can talk the talk, but in our heart, inwardly, deep down in our soul, we are malnourished. We're missing something. We're spiritually starving. We've got to have more than just going through the motions. There must be more to our walk with the Lord than just a surface, casual relationship with Him. Oh, we pray before we eat. We try not to say any bad words. We live a pretty good life, but I want to tell you, there's more depth than that. There's more depth than that. We can still be malnourished. We can become so full of the world, so busy with life, so involved with the things around us that we don't have any room for God. We don't have time to pray, and our Bible's on a shelf somewhere collecting dust, never opened, never studied. And our spiritual man is crying out that I'm hungry. It need not be. It need not be. There is more than enough spiritual nourishment available. We just have to look in the right place. We just have to start eating and drinking the right things. We can't expect to ignore our spiritual man, never taking anything in of righteousness and holiness and godliness, and then expect to be spiritually strong. But if there will be a hunger, and if we will develop a thirst, then God will provide. From our text today in Matthew 5 and 6, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Praise the Lord. It is a promise. He will provide for those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, those that hunger and thirst after spiritual things. There must be a desire, a true desire, just like someone who's hungry or thirsty. They want something to eat or drink. They can't be satisfied with anything else. And the thing is, if they get something to eat and drink today, just wait a little bit. They're still going to be hungry tomorrow. They're still going to be thirsty tomorrow. I tell you, people, they will work for food. They will work for food. They will plan their day out around mealtime. That's the way we should be with the things of God. We won't be satisfied with anything else. Nothing can substitute for the things of righteousness in our life. And just one touch from God, oh yes, thank God for it. But just one touch sometime last week, that's not enough for us. But every day we wake up and we are hungry and we are thirsty in our soul and we desire the things of God. Oh, without that desire, then we will spiritually starve to death. But if we have that desire, if we have that hunger and thirst, then God will provide. Matthew 7 and 7 tells us, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you whom, if his son asks bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? Who here today would listen to the cry of your child asking for bread and give him a stone? Who would hear him ask for fish and give him a serpent? Oh, we being evil, we with our sinful and human limitations, if we know how to give good gifts to our children, how much more? Oh, how much more shall our Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? Ask and you shall receive. Ask and you shall receive. If there's a hunger and thirst for righteousness, he will provide and he will open that door and he will answer that cry. Ask and it shall be given. Seek and we're going to find. Knock and it'll be opened unto you. Amen. Even if we find ourselves in a place where we know that we lack the desire that we need to have. The desire is not there, but we know we need to desire the things of God more. If we will ask him, if we will seek him, if we'll knock on that door and say, Lord, I need more of you. I'm not satisfied where I am. There's got to be a greater hunger in me. I'm not satisfied with the level of righteousness in my life. I'm not satisfied with how much of you is in me. I need more of you. If we will ask that, then I believe that God will answer our prayer and he will open to us a door for a powerful relationship with him. I love the encouragement found in James 4:7. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord and he shall lift you up. And see, there's some things that we have to do. We're responsible for some things. We have to submit to God. Amen. That's a big step right there. Because most people don't want to submit to anybody. But we have to submit to God. That's just how it works in the kingdom of God. Submit to God. Resist the devil. Stop giving in to the devil. Stop giving in to temptation. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw near to God. When we make that step, when we draw near to him, when we make that first move, he doesn't leave us hanging, but he will draw near to us. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Oh, when we cleanse ourselves, when we purify our hearts, when we humble ourselves before the Lord, he responds to the move on our part, and he says, I'm going to meet you there, and I am going to reach to you in relationship. Amen. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Hungry and thirsty souls. You've heard that old Indian saying that there are two wolves inside each of us. One is evil. It is full of anger and envy, jealousy, sorrow, greed and resentment, pride. The other one is good. It's full of joy and peace and love and hope. Humility and kindness. These two wolves they're in a battle inside of every single person. And which one is going to win? The one we feed. The one we feed. What we feed will live. What we feed will live. If you feed the parrot, it's going to live probably. What we don't feed is going to starve. What we feed grows stronger. What we feed will dominate us. That's the one that will have control in us. Whatever we feed will live. If you're struggling with impure thoughts, if you're struggling with temptations in your mind, you need to stop feeding that. Think about what you're watching. Think about what you're reading. Think about what you're talking about. And change the course of that. Submit to God. Resist the devil and he will flee. Stop putting yourself in midst of temptation. Stop feeding the things of the flesh. What are we feeding today? Are we feeding our flesh or are we feeding the spirit? Are we feeding ourselves on the things of the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eye, the pride of life? Or are we denying those things and feeding ourselves the things of God? Righteousness and holiness, what we choose to feed ourselves with, that determines the outcome we'll have in life. I tell you, it's hard to feed both. It's hard to feed the flesh and the spirit. We have a decision to make. Whatever we feed will live. Matthew 4:1, then was Jesus led up into the spirit of the spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. There's more to life than just natural bread. How true what Jesus said. If we're trying to live by bread alone, we're going to starve. But there must be a hunger, there must be a thirst after God for every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. The word of God brings life. The word of God brings nourishment to our soul. Without the word of God, our soul is starving. Our soul is spiritually malnourished. We lack the strength that we need to live for God. But with the word of God, there is a steadfastness that comes from the truth, from the word of God. It is a foundation for our lives. We can make it when we're built on the word of God. We're so used to things that are temporary. Much of life is centered around temporary things. Things that change, things that go away, things that we can't depend on. But Psalms 119:89 declares, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. We need to stop building our lives on things that shift and turn and go away and change. But we need to build our lives on something that is forever settled. Something that will remain forever. A true foundation to build on. It's the word of God. Oh, if your soul is hungry today, if you have a thirst for righteousness, then you need to make a time to get alone with just you and your Bible, and you need to read it, and you need to study it. You need to hide it in your heart. I tell you, man can't live by bread alone. They say that a high intake of sugar in our bodies, it will create conditions that are right for inflammation to flourish. Studies have shown that people diagnosed with cancer have seen tumors shrink and just cutting sugar out of their diet. There's a connection there. What we eat affects our body. And what we feed our spiritual man affects what's produced in us and through us. Prayer creates the right conditions for spiritual growth to flourish in our lives. There's nothing like prayer. Yes, it's communication with God. We should be talking to Him and he should be talking to us. But prayer has a way of creating the conditions, making the atmosphere just right so that the Spirit of God can work on us. I've never seen someone leave a prayer meeting and say, you know what? I feel like God's calling me to less consecration, less commitment, less sacrifice, less holiness. I've never seen it. But every time we go to a prayer meeting and we really pray, there's a burning desire when it's God, I've got to be more committed. I've got to be closer to you. Oh, there's some things I've got to sacrifice. I've got to work on holiness. I've got to work on my attitude. Amen. Oh, I tell you, sometimes you see people who haven't prayed in months and they're not in any kind of spiritual condition. And because their spiritual man is so malnourished, they go and make decisions that lead them away from God. they backslide and sin and they walk away from the Lord, and their spiritual man is so weak that it doesn't even put up a fight. And they think, well, this must be the right thing to do. But they're totally led of their flesh. Prayer is necessary to our survival. Time spent with the Lord, talking to God, hearing from Him, letting His Spirit work on us, convicting us and changing us and developing that hunger and thirst for more of Him. All of that happens in times of prayer. Oh, it's my fear that prayer is becoming a lost art. It is my fear that prayer is becoming a lost art because we're too full of other things. We're too busy with other pursuits. We're too stuffed with the things of the flesh to humble ourselves and pray. But that's exactly what we need to do. Hallelujah. 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. If only people in America and around the world would heed this word from God, they're not going to find the answer by looking in a political party. Cities torn apart by hate will not find healing in more hate. They're not going to find what they need in the latest social justice movement. All of that will still leave them empty and hurting on the inside. But if they would humble themselves, if they would turn to God, if they would pray, if they would seek God's face and turn from their wicked ways, that's the only thing that could bring healing to our land when hungry and thirsty souls cry out to God. What we feed is going to live. What we starve will die. What lives in us and what dies in us is determined by what we feed and what we starve. What we eat, it's a big part of our lives. It takes a lot of time up during the week. If you don't believe that, then just try to fast for a couple of days. All of a sudden, you're going to have so much extra time. What do I do with all this time? Because we spend a lot of our time centered around what we eat. Fasting is meant to starve the flesh. It's not fun. I don't know. Maybe some people think it is. I don't. Fasting's meant to starve the flesh. And it's the only thing that will do it. There's nothing like fasting to help us get our priorities right. Fasting keeps our flesh in check. It doesn't destroy it. It doesn't destroy it, but it helps keep it in check. If you stop fasting, your flesh is still going to be there. But fasting helps us keep the flesh in subjection to the Spirit. And there are some things more important than spiritual food or than physical food. Matthew 6:25, therefore I say to you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat and the body than raiment? Isn't there more to life than what we eat and what we wear? Oh, yes. You see, the problem we all have with spiritual things is we get so full of other stuff that we're not hungry. There's no more room. We're not thirsty for the things of God. I'll never forget the time my wife and I took a little day trip for, I don't remember the reason, but it was a few hours away. And sometime during the day, my wife talked with her mom, and they made plans for us to go and eat dinner with them when we got back that evening. We told her, I think. So they made plans to go eat dinner that evening and for us to go eat. And then we went to Papacitas. Forgot about all that. Went to Papacitas. And if you've never eaten at Papacitas, let me tell you, it's worth the drive to Dallas or wherever you have to go, or Houston, to eat there. If you like Mexican Villa, you will not like Papasitas. Let me just tell you that. But if you like real Tex-Mex, then you need to try Papasitas. And we loved it that day. And cheese enchiladas and tamales and tacos and rice and beans and tortillas with melted butter. Oh, man. Then we get in the car and start heading home. They kind of had to wheel me out because I was so full, you know. Somewhere along the way, we get a phone call. Guess who? I've got the best mother-in-law. And she was wondering what time we were going to get there to eat. She'd been cooking, and she'd been getting things ready, and they were waiting on us. We had messed up. We were so full. We were so stuffed. But my wife was in on it. We made a decision right there and there, right then and there. We're going to go, and we're going to act like we're hungry. And we did our best. But when we're stuffed, we're really not hungry for anything else. And we just were not able to enjoy that meal like would do all the work put into it justice. And I think it was a few years later before we told my mother-in-law what had happened. If we're constantly filling ourselves with the things of the world, media, worldly pursuits, things that please our flesh, relationships that lead us away from God, habits that are ungodly, then we're so full of those things. And there's no room for hunger. There's no room for thirst of the things of God. It's not that our soul isn't hungry. Our soul is still hungry. Our soul is starving. But all of that other, it makes us so full with life that it drowns out the cry of our thirsty soul. Sometimes we don't even know how spiritually starved we are until we go through a time of fasting. Because that's the only way to drown out the loud noise of our flesh so that we can hear the cry of our soul for more of God. If it's been too long since we fasted, we need to put it on the calendar. This week, we need to make it happen. We need to make it happen. It needs to be a priority. Because there needs to be a hunger. There needs to be a thirst for righteousness. Would you stand with me tonight? There's an interesting story in 2 Kings chapter 6. The king of Syria had gathered all of his armies together and surrounded Samaria. He went to take the city. And he used a very effective tactic. He didn't go and overpower them. He didn't burn the city down. He didn't storm the gates and climb the walls. He did not try to kill as many in the city as possible until they gave up. No. He went to starve them out. He took everything that he needed for an extended stay. And they surrounded the city and they waited. Nothing could get in, nothing could get out. The Bible says there was a great famine in Samaria. It was so bad that they were selling the head of an unclean animal for 80 pieces of silver. That's about 40 ounces of silver. Today, the price of silver is about $26, so that's like $1,000 for the head of an unclean animal. When you're hungry, you'll do anything to survive. When you're starving, it doesn't matter what's put on the table. You're hungry and you're going to eat it. One day the king was out walking and a woman came to him for help. You see, she had made a horrible agreement with another lady. She said, "Today we're going to kill my son and eat him, and tomorrow we'll kill yours." So they killed her son and ate him. But the next day the other lady backed out. how absolutely horrible and gruesome. But when people are starving, the king tore his clothes and wept, and he blamed the man of God for the famine. He sent his servant to go and kill Elisha, but Elisha found out what was going on, and he kept his door boarded up. And finally the king comes to Elisha, and Elisha tells him, hey, tomorrow flour and barley are going to be available so cheap, you're not even going to believe it. The famine is going to be over. Now, while all this was going on inside the gate, outside, there were four men who had leprosy. They were unclean, and so they could not come into the city. They were caught outside the gate between the city and the Syrian army. They were in that no man's land. 2 Kings 7:3 says, and there were four leprous men at the entering in of the gate, and they said one to another, why sit we here until we die? They made up their mind that they were going to the Syrian camp. And if they killed them, well, it'd just be a little quicker than dying from starvation. And as they made their way to the Syrian camp, the Lord caused their footsteps to sound like the noise of chariots and of horses and of a great army. And the Syrian army fled before them. They left everything behind. And the four lepers had all that they could ever want. And when they shared the news with the people in the city, there was a mad rush through the gates. And flour and barley were cheap, where one day before they were starving. There needs to be something rise up inside of us, like what rose up in those four lepers when they said, why sit we here till we die? Why sit we here till we die? There needs to be a recognition that without nourishment, our spiritual man is starving. And whatever it takes, whatever we have to do, we have to get close to God, because only He can satisfy our hungry and thirsty soul. Oh, is there anybody tonight that you've tried everything else? You've filled your life with this and with that, but there's still an empty place within you that you say, God, I've got to have some food for my spiritual man. My soul is hungry. My soul is thirsty. And God, maybe it's been a little too long since I prayed like I need to pray. Maybe it's been a little too long since I read your word like I need to read it. Maybe it's been a little too long since I pushed away from the table and I fasted. But God, I'm going to do it, because my spiritual man is crying out. My soul is malnourished and I need the things of God. Oh, would there be somebody in this house right now, you'd reach to the Lord and say, I'm going to make a commitment to you, God. I've got to draw near to you, and I pray that you would draw near to me. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Is anybody hungry? Is anybody thirsty after the things of God? If you will reach to God, then God will supply that need, and He will meet you here tonight. Hallelujah. Would you raise your hands? Would you lift your hearts to the Lord? Come on. Would you reach to Him? Would you draw nigh to Him right now? We need you, oh God. Our hearts are hungry. Our souls are thirsty. We need you, Lord. We need you, God. Hear our prayer, oh God. Draw near to us, I pray, Lord. Speak to our lives, God. Help us here in this place tonight. With your mercy and your grace, I need